Well, good morning. Here we are this day, the first Sunday in May 2020, going through the book of Ephesians this morning, continuing on, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and if you are watching this morning online, if you would grab your Bible this morning, open up to Ephesians chapter 4, and be ready to turn to the book of Hebrews as well. As we look to the Word of God, as we are in this interesting times to where we are watching sermons from home. Interesting times indeed. There is a buzzword that we continue to hear today, these days, and that word is essential. They say this is essential, this is non-essential. There's a determination of what some would say is essential, and there's a determination of what some would say is not essential. What we're going to look at today with the Word of God is the ascension of Jesus Christ. That is indeed essential. It is essential for the believer. Let me pray before I begin this morning for my own soul and for all of us that are paying attention this morning. Father, we open up your word this morning, seeking to understand who you are, seeking to understand how we must live, seeking to understand this word in Ephesians, O God, in other scriptures this morning, the God-breathed word that you have given us, O Lord, that is essential for our diet, O Lord, knowing that it is essential for one to go to heaven, that they must be right with you. It is essential that one comes to the Father through Jesus Christ, your Son. O Lord, that you would do an essential work in our hearts this day, O God. Wake us out of our stupor, O Lord. Wake us up out of any lethargicness, O Lord. That we would be gripped by your word this morning, gripped by the Holy Spirit of God this morning, O Lord. Change us where needed, O God. Search our hearts, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way within us, O Lord. Where do we need to get right with you, O God? Where do we need to get right with others, O Lord? Who do we need to pray for this week, O Lord? Who do we need to pray for this day, O God? Impress these things on our hearts, O Lord. God, how can our hearts change? Where do they need to change during this time, during this day? O Lord, let the name of Christ be honored and glorified, and it's in His mighty name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I just want to read all the way down through several scriptures here. When Paul says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And this is where we pick up this morning. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This section of Scripture is this warning, just in verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's so robust with theology, with topics that are significant for numerous sermons, that Jesus gives gifts to the church, the ascension of Jesus Christ, and then the sometimes debated topic of the lower parts of the earth in verse 9, which definitely deserves a polemic stance, a polemic sermon. And then in verse 11, the gifted men that Christ gave to His church, what Paul was speaking of in verse 7, where he's really talking about the gifts. We see apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor and teachers. My focus continued to be on, as I looked to the Word of God, that I could not get away from, was the ascension of Jesus Christ. And that's where we are going to really hone in on today as we touch on these other things that Paul talks about in his word, in the Word of God. But we'll see that the ascension is essential. In this, we will see a few things. The necessity of the ascension, which is essential. The triumph of the ascension. The blessings and benefits of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think of the gifts that Christ has given, God has blessed His church with grace gifts. And we all have been given gifts by the Lord Jesus Christ, certain giftings to where we will serve Jesus Christ. We will serve the church. Not giftings as possessions, but giftings as He saves us, sanctifies us. Nothing earned, nothing deserved, but given. It is according also to the measure of Christ's gift. Whether great or small, brilliant or not so brilliant, in the limelight or behind the scenes, Christ has given gifts to men. These gifts are given in capacity determined by Christ, given to all who are in Christ for the purpose of service to Christ. Every Christian has some gifting to be used in the body of Christ. But Paul's focus here in Ephesians, which will be our focus somewhat this morning, possibly, Lord willing, further on as we move in the month of May, move forward. He specifically talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastor, teacher. The gifts that Christ gave to the church for the purpose of enriching, maturing, and equipping the church, His people, for the work of ministry. That is the goal. And the church is the pillar and ground of truth. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 3:15. And the beacon of light in a dark world. It is, and we are in need of continued instruction of the Word of God. And we see the gifts that Paul primarily focuses on here are teaching gifts. Pastors, teachers. Why teaching gifts? Well, Christ's principal way, says Ian Hamilton, Christ's principal way of building up the body, the church, is to instruct it in the rich truths of God and the gospel. The church is essential. It's essential for us today, as it has always been essential. We need a consistent truth taught to us. We need consistency in the midst of inconsistent messages that we are getting from inconsistent sources for the last couple of months in tumultuous times. We need now consistency of the truth taught to us. The grace gifts Paul describes here are identified with teaching. There are other spiritual gifts, other gifts spoken of in the Word of God, and I will just briefly mention two areas in Scripture speaking on gifts. You will just go to 1 Peter chapter 4, 11 and 12. I'll just read these for you. Verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified, that's the goal, through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see a summary, so to speak, of two things, speaking and serving. Okay, just mentioning these for our purposes this morning in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. And then there's also a longer list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11, and then also in 28 through 30. But here in Romans 12, 3 through 8, I will read that. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, again, as we go back to Ephesians, we are just mentioning these, not going into details of these, and specifically not going into the details of the ones listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That takes a long discussion. They are so numerous. But here, the focus with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 is the gifts that he has given to equip his people. Now, before identifying these gifts, Paul writes on the ascension. He goes back to Psalm 68, verse 18, which says, "Have you ascended on high? You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there." So Paul, going back to Psalm chapter 68, verse 18. Now, ascended on high, this refers to heaven, and it's in contrast to earth. Contrasts are important. We have been seeing contrast time and time again in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, contrasts. And it's important to remember when we look at verses 9 and 10. But when he uses Psalm 68, verse 18, he says, when he ascended on high, speaking of Jesus, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts of men. The point is the triumph of the ascension. Psalm 68 can be described as a triumphal hymn. The theme, the Lord, Yahweh, the divine warrior, God, a victorious warrior who conquered his enemies. Pictures God victorious over his enemies, now ascending to his throne to receive gifts and homage. What does this sound like when we think of Jesus Christ, when we look at that psalm and we think of the Lord, the divine warrior, and a conquering king, a victorious warrior who conquers his enemies? When we think of Jesus Christ, we think of Jesus defeating his enemies on the cross. As he died on the cross, as he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, and then ascended on high, triumphantly to the Father. He, Jesus Christ, dispenses gifts to his church. The ascension was necessary for that. The image is Jesus Christ ruling over all, over his church specifically, all with all authority and power. And that is something we really need to keep in mind today. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that he rules with all authority and power. And we have to remember that when we think of the local church, and when we think of the Word of God, and when we think of our walks with Jesus Christ, we have no king but Jesus Christ. He gives gifts as he sees fit to be used for his purpose, for his glory, and for the church's edification. Lord willing, we will get into what Paul writes on the evangelists and pastors and teachers down the road here. But focusing on the ascension, who else could give gifts but Jesus Christ, the ascended Christ? As he is head over all things, he is indeed head of the church. The ascension of Jesus Christ was a true change in location. He was on the earth, and then he ascended on high. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, as they were looking up, they saw he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Christ out of their sight. A triumphant ascension after a triumphant resurrection. The ascension, a significant moment in redemptive history. Moments in redemptive history. We have creation, we have the fall, we have the incarnation, we have the crucifixion, we have the death, burial, and resurrection, and we have the ascension, and we will have the consummation when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. There is a clear emphasis in the New Testament of the significance of it being essential of the work of Christ as ascending, as the ascended high priest. The finished work of Christ is indeed the heart of the Christian faith. Also, his continued work as our great high priest is essential for us as well. Turn to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 7. Thinking of the ascension. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. We're going to be in Hebrews for a little bit, going in different areas, different chapters. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. The former priests, on one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented. They were prevented by death. Speaking of the Old Testament, they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, here's a contrast, but Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he who is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ always lives to make intercession for us, for the Christian. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest who is holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this He did once for all when He offered up Himself. A permanent high priest always lives to make intercession for His people. The ascension was essential. A triumphant ascension. Let me read another quote by Ian Hamilton. Christ's ascension was not only sealed the triumph of His once-for-all work of atonement, but signaled the beginning of His present reign as the King Priest. No king but Christ. His present reign as the King Priest who unfailingly watches over, cares for, and defends His people. Jesus Christ unfailingly watches over, cares for, and defends His people. Let that comfort our hearts today as we are going through what we are going through in this nation, in this world, that Christ watches over, He cares for, and defends His people. The ascension of Jesus Christ is essential. It was necessary. Jesus Christ, in His own words in Luke 24:26, He says, was it not necessary for the Christ, speaking of Himself, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer those things and to enter into His glory? His high priestly office demands His ascension. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. Let's look at that this morning. Hebrews chapter 8. I'll read this and we'll make some observations. Now the main point in what has been said is this. In what has been said, what the author of Hebrews previously wrote. Now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, if he, speaking of Christ, were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now, he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant which has been enacted on better promises. Let's just make some observations here. We understand if Christ was here on earth, he could not be serving as high priest. He has ascended. The ascension was necessary. The Lord is ministering in the true tabernacle. Where? In heaven. Jesus is ministering in the Father's presence. Where is that, we ask? In heaven. Christ has blazed a trail for us, entering the better country, as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 says. But as it is, we desire a better country. Not a different country other than the United States. A better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a city, a place for His children. Jesus not say that to His disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 14? So let our desires, Christians, not be, well, I desire a better country here on earth once this COVID passes, if it passes. I desire a better United States of America. No, we desire a better country, a heavenly one. We are just pilgrims here. We are passing through. We are here for a reason. Yes, but we are passing through. And we think of Ephesians, the ascension. And then, in chapter 4, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So the ascension is necessary for numerous reasons, was necessary for numerous reasons. Now let's look at verse 9 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Okay, so there is different perspectives on what these two verses mean. And I will give a brief summary of this right here, but this deserves a sermon of itself. Some would say that Jesus descended to hell because of this verse and another verse in 1 Peter. Or Jesus descended to Hades. Another option is that Jesus descended to the earth, to the lower parts, that is the earth. That is the position, is the biblical position, I believe. Because look at the context. The ascension and the descension. The ascension of Jesus Christ, the exaltation. The descension, the humiliation, as theologians call it. The humiliation includes the incarnation and the death of Christ. Let's briefly back this statement up. Well, if we look at this again, holding that perspective there, that Jesus ascended on high, and yes, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. It makes sense. We just read it. Now this expression, he who ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended, far above all heavens, so that he might fill all things. So is Jesus now in space and time far above all heavens? Is he not in heaven? He's far above somewhere? Or is this hyperbolic speech? Paul getting a point across to us. Same with the lower parts of the earth. He who descended to the lower parts of the earth, that is, he who came in the incarnation, God in the flesh, born of a virgin, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, among people. And although he existed, as Philippians says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we could say he stooped down for us. God came down for man. Here's what John Calvin says. These words, speaking of verse 9 and 10, these words mean nothing more than the condition of the present life. To torture them so as to make them mean purgatory or hell, he says, is exceedingly foolish. His perspective is that Christ endured hell on the cross. Not literal. Some believe that erroneously that Christ descended into hell. But the Scripture does not support this idea. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that Christ saved souls by going to hell. But the Scriptures do teach that He bore our sins by the shedding of blood, and that we have forgiveness of our sins and redemption. Now, briefly, if you know about the Apostles' Creed, it makes this statement about He was, I forget exactly what it says, He descended to hell. But this is using what is called, and I mentioned this briefly, and I would love to go into it further in another message, a conflation, two phrases brought together, one saying He was buried, one saying He descended into hell, and they put those two together to make the statement. That's the short version, and there's way more details to that. So, do we rest on the Apostles' Creed, or do we rest on sola scriptura, the Word of God? We rest on the Word of God. And we rest on Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. With His ascension, the essential ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, I almost get tongue-tied saying that, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. This captivity, captive, the devil, sin, hell, death, all conquered by Christ. He triumphed over them openly with His resurrection and His ascension. And He has delivered us as well. The Christian, He has delivered as well from the chains of the evil one. Now we serve the righteous one. His robes for mine. From the chains of our own sin. Our sins for the Christian, our sins are forgiven. Saved from the dominion of sin and the dominion of this world, living instead for the kingdom of God. Saved from death itself, where we could say, death, O death, where is your sting? Saved from hell itself. That will not be the destination for the Christian. Heaven will be instead. Praise God for that, hallelujah. John Calvin says, again, another quote here. He has, speaking of Christ, Christ has not only gained a complete victory over the devil and sin and death and all the power of hell, but out of rebels, He forms every day a willing people. Out of rebels, every day, He forms a willing people. On the other hand, His enemies, to which class all wicked men belong, he says, His enemies, to which class all wicked men belong, are held bound by chains of iron and are restrained by His power from exerting their fury beyond the limits which He shall assign. Think of that as we think about what's going on today and we think about the wickedness going on today. It is restrained by His power from exerting the fury beyond the limits which He shall assign them. Because He is in full control and He rules. No king but Jesus Christ. He who ascended gives gifts to His children. Our response, Lord, with what You have gifted us, our gifting, how can we use our gifts for Your glory and for the church? We have benefits and blessings of His ascension. We have the gifts that He has given to them, which we did not even go into this day. The ascension was essential for us to have access to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Let that marinate in your hearts today, Christians. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he was without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Therefore, because of the ascension of Jesus Christ, which was essential, therefore let us draw near with confidence because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, with confidence to the throne of grace. Let that be where we go today. Let that be where we go week after week, day after day, hour after hour, minute by minute, as we go through this time we're in now. That this would be a time even more so that we would draw near to God, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Do we not stand and sit in a time, we are in a time of need? We need mercy and grace from God in this time. Yes, we always do so. We find ourselves in quite a significant time now that is different, quite different than anything most of us, if not all of us, have ever experienced. And yet we say, praise God that He will still work in us and through us. As I was looking through Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, I see something, scripture that is mentioned a few times, at least three times. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. A third time, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, anyone who may be listening, if God is working on your heart, if you are being convicted of your sin, do not harden your heart anymore. There's words of a hymn sung by Matt Forman, a Reformed Baptist pastor in Pennsylvania, using words from an old German hymn writer, Erdmann Neumeister, 1718. Jesus seeks thee, O believe. Jesus sinners does receive. Jesus seeks thee, O believe. Jesus seeks thee, O believe, he says. Jesus, sinners, does receive. Oh, what a message. Jesus seeks thee. Oh, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe that He is still saving souls. Do not harden your heart. The gospel is needed now as it ever was. Jesus, sinners, does receive. Jesus seeks thee, O believe. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by Him. The Savior is essential for heaven's gates. Faith and trust is essential in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is essential for salvation. Jesus Christ came. He died and He rose again on high. He ascended back to the Father. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential for the salvation for the believer, continuing as He is our high priest, and He continually intercedes for us, even now, forever. What encouragement that should be for our souls this day. Do we not froth at the bit to go back to the local church and sing with the saints and sing about this Jesus whom we believe in and hear the Word of God preached and to pray? Let's do so now. Let us pray. Father, we come before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I ask for Your mercy and Your grace. Please, O God, whatever was useful from this message, O Lord, let it penetrate us, O God. Whatever was frivolous, Lord, or whatever was displeasing, O God, let it fall on deaf ears, O Lord. Thank You for salvation in none other than Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have much to rejoice in. Lord, we know You are still in the business of saving souls. Oh God, even in a time as such, oh Lord, which is nothing to You, it seems so dramatic for us, oh Lord, but it's nothing to You, oh Lord. Thank You that Jesus Christ is interceding for us in heaven. Thank You, O Lord, that You will return for us. Thank You that if we breathe our last breath today, we have assurance to go to be with You, the ascended Christ. Thank You that You gave gifts to Your church, that You've gifted all of us in ways that You saw fit, O Lord, that we did not even go into today, O God. Let us be so enraptured with the fact that You ascended on high and that You are not deaf to our cries, that You hear us, O Lord. Please, O God, please, let us not get lethargic, O Lord. Please, O please, let us not get just weighed down with all of this, O Lord. But let us look up. There is so much we are bombarded with, O God, right now, from the news, from social media, from different perspectives, from different people, on different things, O Lord. But one thing remains the same. One thing does not change, and it's Your Word. And of course, God, You are unchanging, O Lord. And You are an ever-present help in time of need. God, that we would look to your word and study your attributes in a time as now as well, O God. God, drive us to our knees in this time, Lord. And if you have driven some of us to our knees, keep us there, O Lord. For that is where we need to be, and looking up to you, O Lord. Not looking for the things of this world to satisfy us, to say, O Lord, I want to go back to normalcy. But let it be, O Lord, I want to grow closer to you. O God, draw us closer to you. Draw Grace Covenant Church closer to you, O Lord, in communion with you, O God. Lord, let our affections be on you as if never before. Let our prayer life be changed, O God, as if never before. Let our love for you be greater than ever before. Let our love for others be brighter and more than ever before, O Lord. And let us open our mouths with the gospel of Jesus Christ for your glory and for the love of souls more and more than ever before, Lord. Let us remember the God, that your word is essential for us this day. The ascension of Jesus Christ was essential for the believer. Oh God, help us. We need you, oh Lord. I stand behind a pulpit this day, oh God. I stand here as I look to a video camera, oh Lord. But my gaze, oh God, is to you, and I ask, oh God, help us. Help us, oh Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.